Genesis chapter 25 and verse 29. Now Jacob cooked his stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore, his name was called Edom. This evening, I want to continue, as I've been doing, talking about some different characters. Tonight, we're going to look at two of them together. We aren't going to get into a lot of detail, but I do think the better that we understand these characters, and especially as we're going through the Old Testament and understanding the history and geography, it'll just make us better Bible students. I'm still dealing with my eye, and it's still weeping and running, so I will probably be doing this several times tonight so I can see what's up here. It was good to get to preach where we did this morning. We've known the people there for a long time. And we have five grandchildren there also. Five grandchildren. And it's always a bit of a challenge when a preacher preaches somewhere else to know their schedule and order of services and such. And I asked two of the men that were sitting on the back, I said, "So what time do you get out of here so I know when to stop preaching?" One of them said 3 o'clock, and the other one said 4 o'clock. So when I got up and started the sermon, and I mentioned that, and I was thrown a little bit too, because the song leader led two songs, and he said, "Now the song before the service," where they have their Lord's Supper in a different order, just, you know, not familiar with that. And I said, "You know, when they said 3 and 4 o'clock, that reminded me of the preacher, that there was a visiting preacher at a place, and he just went on and on and on preaching, and the audience was getting restless. And one man in the back stood up, and he took a songbook, and he threw it up, trying to hit the preacher, and it didn't go all the way up, and it hit some woman sitting up front. And it hit her in the head. She just fell over and landed on the floor. Well, he came running up to check on her. He said, "Are you all right?" And she said, "Hit me again. I can still hear him." So it's not going to be a long sermon tonight, but hopefully we will get something that will help us in our study of the Bible. Jacob and Esau. When we look at a timeline of the Old Testament, and again, this is not a detailed one, but we see where they fall in the main characters: Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. In the accounts of Jacob and Esau, they're in the book of Genesis in the patriarchal age, and it's important to understand how God communicated in each age of the Bible to read it in the proper context. He spoke differently in the patriarchal age than he did in the Mosaical age, different than today. When we look at where this falls in the Old Testament, again, this is a basic review. Genesis falls in the Pentateuch. The first five books of the Old Testament are books of law. Then we have the books of history. And then when we get to the end of the historical books, down to Esther, that covers the whole time of the Old Testament. By the time we get to Esther, now the books of poetry and wisdom and the major and minor prophets all fit in within those historical books. On the handout you have on the timeline, we see Jacob, also known as Israel, and on the timeline during after Ishmael, Isaac, and we see that Job was also in the patriarchal age along with Abraham. What does Esau mean? Well, Esau was the firstborn of twin boys born to Isaac and Rebekah. He was the grandson of Abraham and Sarah and Bethuel, nephew of Laban. And then he was the father of several different sons. His name means hairy, and Esau is described as a hairy red. He's also called Edom, the meaning of red. So Edom means red. Esau is described as hairy and red. He was a skillful hunter. He preferred the outdoor life. He was his father's favorite son, but he sold his birthright as the firstborn in return for some stew when he was hungry. He married, and then there is a number of women he married here. Judith, Basemath, both Hittite women, an Israelite woman called Basemath, also called Mahalath, Ishmael's daughter, before taking other Canaanite wives. When his brother tricked his father, Isaac gave the blessing reserved for Esau as the firstborn son to the younger Jacob. This caused friction between the brothers, and they were separated for many years. Esau took up reference in Seir, and it was from here that he went up to Peniel in order to meet Jacob, who had left Laban's home and had sent ahead many gifts to pacify Esau. But Esau was just happy to see his long-lost brother again. So again, Esau, when we've seen on the maps on Wednesday evening, that area of Seir, and again, places were named, had different names depending on who inhabited them at the time. Esau, also known as Edom, and then we have the kingdom, the Edomites. And as we just studied recently, when Moses left with the Israelites from Egypt and they got to Kadesh, and then they were going to go and enter into the land of Canaan, and Moses wanted to go up the king's highway through Edom, and a message was sent to the king, and the king said, no, you can't come through here, and God told him to go around because they were relatives. So eventually, Jacob and Esau parted company on account of their many possessions, livestock, and people. Esau settled in the hill country of Seir. He became the father of the Edomites. The New Testament uses the example of Esau to warn God's people about long-term results of impetuous decisions to reject God's blessings. He stands out as an example of something we would consider something small, yet it has impact that is so great and so huge that it affected his own family and it affected generations to come. Now Jacob, on his return from Laban's home, and we're going to go over these a couple of different ways, again, just to help us get them in our minds. On his return from Laban's home, Jacob settled in Mamre near Hebron in the land of Canaan. Jacob's favorite son was Joseph, and this caused friction in the family. His other sons plotted against Joseph and convinced Jacob that Joseph was dead. This caused Jacob to mourn deeply. However, in his old age, Jacob saw his son Joseph again when he finally came to Egypt with his family. They were around 70, 75 people in number at this time. Jacob blessed Joseph's sons and his own sons before he died. And this is from a commentary that I found this. He was embalmed for 40 days by the Egyptian physicians, who mourned him for 70 days. Joseph observed a further 7-day period of mourning for him near the Jordan. He was buried in the cave of the field of Machpelah near Mamre, where Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, and Leah were buried. Jacob is mentioned in Matthew and Luke's genealogy of Jesus. Throughout the Bible, Jacob is mentioned along with Abraham, and Isaac is one of the three fathers of faith. I find it interesting, too, that they were buried in this same place, in this cave, this family burial place. So we're in the patriarchal period, talking about the life of Jacob and Esau. Jacob marries Leah and Rachel, Genesis 28. Genesis 29, we have a record of Jacob's children. Genesis chapter 30, Jacob leaves Laban. Genesis 32, Jacob faces Esau. Same chapter, Jacob wrestles with God. Jacob and Esau make peace. Esau settles in Edom, and Jacob meets Esau. These are one sentence summaries that summarize massive events. We'll get into this a little bit more again as we go along. Again, back to Abraham, Genesis 22:17. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. So God made this promise to Abraham. Abraham had Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael, Isaac, and then Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Ishmael had 12 sons. Jacob had 12 sons. Both of these sons of Abraham became mighty nations. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So we have the Ishmaelites, the Israelites, and the Edomites, these three great nations, all coming from Abraham's seed. When we look at Edom here, we see it's just south of Moab. And then a couple places that we've talked about on Wednesday evening, that first yellow dot is Kadesh, Kadesh Barnea. Then right below that, the wilderness of Zin. And below that, the wilderness of Paran. Sometimes, depending on where you're reading, the exact location is not given, but it's of different events, but it's going to be around one of these wildernesses down here. And I will try to remember for Wednesday evening for the class with, I show that slide of the Sea of Galilee, and then with the names on it, Capernaum, Bethsaida, Tiberias, places like that. I've shown that slide a lot. And then up on the northern right-hand side, it says Golan Heights. And with the events that happened this last week, I got a map off the internet. I want to put with that other one to show you just where that strike was made. And there is like a dozen children killed. That's just right on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And again, this whole area in here has shaped so much of history, and there's still battles going on there today. And we see again here the King's Highway runs through Edom on up to Moab, and it goes on up to Damascus. So going back to Abraham, Abraham married again after the death of Sarah and had more children. He lived to the age of 175, which was actually a young age compared to the longevity of people in previous generations. From the time of Noah and coming forward, people lived to not be as old. And one of the theories on that is when God opened the floodgates of heaven, that opened up this barrier, this buffer for more radiation to come down, which has affected the lifespan of man. It affects the lifestyle of everything. And when you think about dinosaurs, the word dinosaur means thunder lizard. And those lizards, those reptiles, as long as they are living, they continue growing. And we have seen in a zoo a Komodo dragon the size of one of those pews there. And you just think, if that Komodo dragon lived hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, it would be a dinosaur. Adam lived 930 years, and all those before the flood lived equally long lives. Isaac and Ishmael buried their father Abraham with Sarah in the cave of Machpelah. Isaac was 40 years old when he and Rebekah married. She was barren for 20 years. Isaac entreated the Lord for her, and she brought forth twins, Jacob and Esau. Esau was born first. He was red and hairy all over like a garment. Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. His father Isaac favored Esau and loved the venison that he hunted. Rebekah favored Jacob, the shepherd, and this favoritism caused jealousy. Again, 25:29, now Jacob cooked his stew. Esau came in from the field and he was weary. Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me this day your birthright." And Esau swore to Jacob that he would have his birthright if Jacob would give him the stew to eat. Genesis 25:34 says that Esau despised his birthright. He took it lightly. And again, that's why he's held up as an example to us today, not to take things lightly. When we do, there are eternal and long-lasting consequences. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness bringing up trouble you, and thereby may be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." So Esau's sin, he profanely cast away his spiritual privilege for the gratification of his palate. He gave up his birthright to satisfy his stomach. Genesis 25:34 graphically portrays him, an example well fitted to strike needful horror into the Hebrews. Again, writing to the Hebrews, they had a problem with their faith and following God. And we need to be careful, for one morsel, the smallest of the inducements, only aggravates the guilt of casting away eternity for such a trifle. Just think if you were building a house, running a business, doing something big, and something big came along and you lost it all. You would be upset, but after all, that was something big that came along. What if you were building a house, building a business, and you made one stupid little mistake and you lost it all? Our actions have consequences. That's the lesson from Esau. Esau had also greatly grieved his parents by his marriage, yet they had not expelled him, but made the best of it. He married Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Genesis 28 and verse 9. So Abraham had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob and Esau, Abraham had Ishmael, and he had 12 sons, and Esau married the daughter of Ishmael. As Isaac grew old, he lost his eyesight. And Rebekah used this as an opportunity to trick Isaac into giving his blessing to Jacob. So you just got to wonder, what kind of family was this? There was favoritism. They had their favorites. Isaac and Rebekah didn't have the best of relation for whatever reason. For her to love her son more and be involved in doing something wrong and tricking her husband to satisfy her son. She overheard her husband Isaac call his oldest and favorite son Esau to him. Isaac loved the venison Esau often brought back from hunting, made a request and a promise to Esau. And he said, "Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow, and go out into the field and make me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." So Rebekah heard Isaac give instructions to Esau so he might bless him. She came up with a plan to deceive her husband. She cooked this meat and had Jacob take it to Isaac. Jacob wore Esau's clothing and skin from the kids on his arms to appear to be Esau when Isaac touched him. Isaac asked Jacob, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And Jacob lied and said that he was Esau. Jacob suspected something was up, but again, he didn't have his eyesight to rely on him. His blind father, Isaac, was deceived and blessed Jacob instead of Esau. Rebekah's plan worked, but it destroyed her family. Again, we don't know what we do. It's like a row of dominoes, and you knock this first one over, what effect it's going to have. And when it's something in a family, it just travels right on through the whole family. Genesis 27:34, "And he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came in with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times." Jacob, the supplanter, the deceiver. "He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" So Esau was so angry that he threatened to kill his brother. That's not right, but I think we can understand how he could have those feelings. He just got swindled out of his inheritance. He lost it by deceitful means. So Rebekah was afraid that Esau would kill Jacob, so she sent Jacob away. Genesis 27:43. "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran." So Laban and Rebekah are brother and sister. Laban was the son of Bethuel, brother of Rebekah, grandson of Nahor. He was the father of Rachel and Leah, an uncle and father-in-law of Jacob, an Aramean. And along with his father Bethuel, Laban recognized that the Lord himself had directed Abraham's servant to choose Rebekah as Isaac's wife. Laban opened his home to Jacob when he fled there at his mother's instructions to escape the wrath of Esau. So Rebekah has Jacob You better run for your life. Go to my brother's house, Laban, stay with him. Laban opens up his home, welcomes him to come and stay. Now, Jacob, Laban had the two daughters. Jacob worked for Laban for 7 years in order to marry Rachel. That's the one he wanted. But Laban tricked Jacob and gave him first Leah as a wife. He worked another 7 years for Rachel. How did that set? That didn't set well with him. He was deceived, but he had just deceived his father and his brother. Eventually, Jacob fled from Laban, who had become wary of his growing prosperity. Laban pursued Jacob, but he was reassured that Jacob would look after his daughters and grandchildren. They made a memorial at Gilead to mark their promises to each other before Laban returned home. So you see this ongoing family coming together, family blowing up, family coming together, family blowing up. So Rebekah's son Jacob, whom she loved enough to help betray her family, must live far away in Haran. She would not see his face or that of his children. He would not be there to comfort her as she grew old. He would not even be present for her burial. So you just think about that. Again, probably neither of them thought in the moment when they deceived Isaac what would happen, but it separates them for life. It separates, and it makes instead of that relationship being closer, that husband-wife relationship being closer, that mother-son relationship being closer, that mother-son and son relationship, it separates them and puts more challenges between them all, more heartaches, more sorrow, because he sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. Rebekah never saw Jacob again. She died before he returned to Canaan and was reunited with his brother. Ironically, Isaac lived to see his sons forgive each other. Genesis 35:29, Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered into his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. So they came together years later. Looking at a genealogy of Moses, again, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Abraham had Isaac and Ishmael. And then Jacob and Esau. Esau, the father of the Edomites. And Jacob with his 12 sons, two of them going forward, to keep in mind, is Judah and Levi, because all the kings were to come through the lineage of Judah, and all the priests were to come through the lineage of Levi. So what can we learn from Jacob and Esau? You see this family that's torn apart by love and hate. It comes and goes. They didn't learn. What was missing from that? They didn't learn to trust in God and to honor God and to worship Him. Instead, a lot of times they worship their self. They put their self ahead of what was right. They put their self ahead of God. We learn about, again, the sorrow of the father. You just think when he blessed the wrong son, that would be on his mind the rest of his life. The sorrow of the mother not seeing her son, and she has put a barrier, a wall between everybody in that family. Against the mother and the father, the husband and wife, the father and the son, the mother and the son, and the son and the son. All for this bowl of stew. We see partiality, how partiality creates problems. Showing partiality to your children. And again, we see with this deception, we see it repeated over and over in people's lives. And it's like when someone, we have so many examples that we need to learn from in the Old Testament. When somebody does something wrong, they've got two choices. They can come clean or they can try to cover it up. They try to cover it up, what happens? Something else happens. Something else, something else. We see reconciliation. We see Jacob and Esau reconciled, but that's after years and years and years of being apart. It's a sad time. It's a sad time if your family is estranged and the time you talk to them is at your mother or your father's funeral. And that's what happens in so many cases, because people don't want to do what is right, don't want to make things right, don't want to say, I'm sorry, I've sinned, please forgive me. They don't want to mend the relationships. And then it's too late. And then some people, they don't even get the chance to reconcile with someone else then. And then their fate is sealed. And if they haven't forgiven someone, what does Jesus say? If you don't forgive someone else, I'm not going to forgive you. We also learn that God uses people in spite of, not because of, their character, their personality. You think, why would God use a family like this for Abraham to be blessed through this family of that had was full of liars and deception? Why would he use a family like that? It wasn't because of, but in spite of. And we learned the lesson, friends, if God can use a family like that, he can use a family like mine. He can use a family like yours to bring about good. Satan wants to whisper in our ears something to distract us, something to discourage us, but we need to put our faith and trust in God. We need to faithfully follow God's word. We need to take God's word, put it in our heart, share it with others. And just as Abraham looked for that city whose foundations were not built by a man, we need to look to that city too. We need to be faithful and press on each day so that we, when we come to our end of our time, that we can be counted with the faithful and have a home with him. Friends, this lesson tonight has not been designed to encourage us to make ourselves right, but if there's anyone here this evening that needs prayers, anyone that needs to be obedient to the gospel, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.